Hey, good morning. It's 8:46 on this Monday. This has been a good year for Roanoke Regional Airport. Ridership is up, but airport officials have not yet succeeded in adding new cities to the nonstop schedule. It can be a long process, however, involving considerable patience. And here to talk with Evan Jones and me about that and other airport-related matters, Executive Director Tim Bradshaw. And Tim, we are delighted to have you here, and nice to meet you.
Thanks, Joey. Thanks for having me.
All right, you know, let's start with more cities, Tim. It's well known that you are pitching the 3Ds to air carriers, Dallas, Detroit, Denver. So, Tim, which appears most likely and what sort of time frame seems reasonable as a goal?
Well, Dallas, for example, is in our top five markets as far as origination and destination goes. We have about 60 people who travel back and forth from Roanoke to Dallas. And, you know, we think about where we're going, but think about people coming here as well. Plus, Dallas would give us that western connection that we need to get to cities on the West Coast. A lot of our cities, top markets are Seattle, San Francisco, and others like that. So Dallas is also America's largest hub. There's 1,000 flights a day there. So Dallas is the number one city. We have the market to support it. Denver would be another great opportunity, and it's in our top 20. It's like number 13 in our origination destination market, and again, provides that connection to the West Coast. Now, both those cities I mentioned are dominated by carriers. American is in Dallas. Denver is Southwest, United, and Frontier. And then Detroit, which is our third choice, would be to bring that service back. It left in the fall of 14, right after the merger of Northwest and Delta. So this would bring back the Detroit connection, which would be great for our automotive suppliers like Eldor, for example, a tier one supplier, and for connections to Asia as well. So those are the three that we're really going after.
And Dallas would also be an excellent connection point for Central and South American destinations as well. Among those three, does one, you seem to point to Dallas first. Do you have any time frame in mind at the moment? I know that patience is required.
Yes, I always remind everyone it's a marathon. It's not a 40-yard dash. Sometimes these things can take years because we have to convince the airlines to invest their money, their people, their resources into this market. You know, they just don't do that nowadays, especially with the consolidation that we have of the industry and the pressure that Wall Street is putting on airlines to be profitable. So it's a long haul to try to convince an airline to come in here. For example, Dallas, American carries about half of our passengers out of this market. And they would prefer us to fly out of Charlotte, connect through Charlotte. But that doesn't work well going to the West Coast. So we're trying to convince them to give us Dallas because it's going to take a couple of years.
Now, there are no doubt many other regional airports all pitching the same idea to these airlines. So what do you tell them in your efforts to convince them they should begin service to these cities that makes Roanoke, Blacksburg different?
The money. That's all about the money. You know, these are for-profit companies. So we do actually do financial projections for them showing what their revenue can be, new revenue for adding a route to this market. So that's what it comes down to, is ridership and the yield that they can make on the ticket.
All right, we're speaking with Tim Bradshaw this morning, Executive Director, Roanoke Blacksburg Regional Airport. And Tim, of course, we're getting ready for a busy time at the airport with the holidays coming up and what have you. This coming Friday, usually the busiest single day of the year, and the next week right up there too. So Tim, what do you want travelers to keep in mind if they're heading to the airport during the busiest of times around the holidays?
Patience. Always have patience on this. You know, these are man-made machines. It's a system we operate. Look at today's weather, for example. You have to have patience, especially when you have a large volume of passengers connecting through the large hub cities as well, too. So be patient. Also, you know, pack smart. Make sure that you've got anything that you read up on TSA to make sure that you've got your packages properly, your liquid stowed, that type of thing. And give yourself plenty of time and try to arrive there early.
We are speaking with Roanoke Blacksburg Regional Airport Director Tim Bradshaw, who grew up in this area, left for several decades, but returned 3 years ago after holding a similar position in the Cedar Rapids, Iowa area, where among your accomplishments was seeing airfares on average decline there. I know that's a goal of yours here, but I did some checking Friday. I just randomly figured, okay, the first week in March, spring break, and I looked at airfares for some destinations from here, Miami, Phoenix, Los Angeles. And as a rule, I found about $140 to $160 less as a rule if one flew out of Greensboro and Raleigh, for instance. So what do you tell travelers? You know, if there's two of them, that's $280, $300 difference. How do you convince them it makes more sense to fly out of Roanoke?
Well, you just have to watch the fares. They change daily, so there's different websites out there that you can check the fares, because sometimes the fares aren't always higher. But there's a tipping point to where you want to drive or not. Like, for example, you used to mention $140. Okay, that's about the point where would you drive, or if you're a business person, do you have to get there and get back? You can't spend 6 hours in a round trip in a car. You know, and I always tell people, it's not so much going to Greensboro and Raleigh and getting there and flying. It's when you get home and you've got that three-hour drive back home after you've been away for a few days, you're exhausted. Take that into consideration as well, too.
And you hear this all the time. Everyone wants fares lowers. And let's point out right away, airports do not set the fares. Okay, and they do not set the schedules, and airports do not decide where airlines fly to. The airport, you do what you can to make sure that the fares are as competitive as possible. Talk about some of the things you do.
Well, we bring it to the airline's attention. A lot of people don't realize that there's not usually a human person that's setting these fares. They run computers, algorithms, and they've got 80,000 city pair markets out there. So we have to remind them, hey, look at our fares compared to neighboring airports like Greensboro, like Raleigh. We try to keep our fares close as possible. This is a business market, and business travelers tend to pay a bit more. The only way that you're ever going to get fares to decrease is to bring in a low-cost competitor. That's the only way that you can do it, and that would be a Southwest, a JetBlue, or a Frontier Airlines.
Is any of those a long shot? Are all of those long shots, I think, is the better way to phrase it.
Well, we're a smaller market. Greensboro, Raleigh, they've got a lot more people, a lot more competition, a lot bigger market than we do. But no, I don't think it's a complete long shot. We just had to convince the airlines that the market is there. And we're continuing to work with them. But those low-cost airlines operate on a high-volume market. Mm-hmm. So that's what they need. They need a lot of passengers. And that's why we encourage everybody to fly Roanoke, because as we increase the demand, then our chances of bringing those airlines in here are greater.
Tim Bradshaw, Executive Director of Roanoke-Blacksburg Regional Airport. You've done a lot to upgrade the airport in recent years. Just right away, I think of the passenger lounges upstairs, some of the concessions. I'm sure there's some other things that I've overlooked, but what's next?
Well, you mentioned it earlier. You know, we have no control over what the airline charges or schedule, but what we can do is focus on the customer, and that's what we're doing. We're focusing on the customer. We're providing an all-weather canopy that we're constructing right now. Wi-Fi throughout the terminal. My staff and I meet all the time to talk about how can we make the customer experience better, because that's really all we can sell is the customer convenience. In the next couple of years, what you're going to see is we're going to build a new combined rental car facility. It'll be a separate building away from the terminal that'll put all the rental cars under one roof, and there'll be a much easier return and pickup process for that. So we're very excited about that. We have a beautiful terminal, as you well know. I mean, I'd stack it up against anybody around the country. So we're going to build a building that is very similar to that building. We're also looking at trying to be a partner in economic development by starting to market our property for possible development out there. For example, I would love an Amazon fulfillment center. I know everybody's talking about Amazon headquarters, but how about just a fulfillment center? We don't have one here on this side of the state. And jobs brings better air service. If we can help contribute to the job market here, that'll also help with air service.
You mentioned at the start Eldor, for instance. Have you seen, with all the economic development announcements, is that being reflected at all in the number of people flying in and out that you can determine?
Yes. Oftentimes, the airport is the pulse for the local economy. If the airport's doing well, that's a sign that the local economy is doing well. So all the announcements we've had lately with Deschutes, with Ballast Point, with Eldor, we talk with those companies. You know, they're flying people back and forth. For example, Eldor is flying a lot of people to Milan, Italy, to do their training. I mentioned Detroit earlier as well. Deschutes, we're trying to work with Deschutes to get a Denver connection because they're bringing people back and forth. Ballast Point, another good example. And then the one that just announced, the kombucha. I've never had that before. But, you know, they got three connections trying to get back and forth to the West Coast. So we're working with them as well, too. But to answer your question, yes, we've seen an uptick in our passenger numbers due to a lot with the economic activity.
Executive Director of Roanoke-Blacksburg Regional Airport, Tim Bradshaw, has been with us this morning. We're out of time, Tim, but I tell you what, some interesting information, great update on what's going on, and thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Joey. Thanks, Evan.
Good morning. It is 8:56.
Here in Virginia, natural gas has really boosted our economy. It's helped us out a lot. For me to take care of my kids is pretty much the best feeling in the world. Being a natural gas pipeline, it really makes that possible. Without it, I don't know where I would be. McDonald's probably wouldn't do it.
Robert Russell is a natural gas pipeline worker from Danville, Virginia.
Natural gas has brought a lot of jobs to our state. As a natural gas pipeliner, I feel good that I'm contributing back to my community. It's very rewarding that blue-collar workers like me are able to take care of their family. And I can do that as a natural gas pipeline worker, and I'm proud of that.
Clean natural gas pipelines have helped create thousands of jobs in Virginia and have contributed